Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie. I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. And no, my cold is not any better this week. I'm Alex Dunbar, joined by most of the Stop the Movie crew. We have Brian Mueller here.
It's been 3 months since I've seen this movie, and I can't remember lines from it. So I'm not going to try to quote anything.
Okay, fair enough. Cody Wolf.
Present.
And Jack Estabrook.
Oh, come on.
I just want to thank everybody who was involved in the making of this film profusely. This film is a masterpiece.
It is, isn't it?
It is a piece of
masterpiece.
Something.
Thank
you. Masterpiece of something.
No, yeah. It is a piece of pure Hollywood gold.
Yeah. It's fun, but
it's a masterpiece of cinema.
I will absolutely defend this movie.
And I am your host, a very smoky-throated Lindsay Lohan.
Smoky-throated.
/ Alex Dunbar. Not feeling much better this week. Our movie this week is Sharknado. Yes.
Which three of us saw in the movie theater.
Yeah.
When
and
they released it.
Jack and Cody saw it together.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the same theater, and we had no idea.
Exactly.
It was the movie event of the season.
The theater was
there was a lot of people there.
Yeah,
there was.
They played it in the huge theater, too, at the mall. I thought that was going to be one of the small ones. They played it in one of the big ones.
And it's fun, too, because without the commercials, it's like an hour and 15 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
Well, they did add some footage to it, I thought. Then from the broadcast,
I didn't watch it on TV.
Well,
so
I think it was to kind of justify it being in theaters. I think they kind of added a little more.
I don't know. The movie in itself was justification enough for me.
The movie was amazing. Amazing.
It's fun.
It is the perfect so bad it's good movie.
And I think I'm guessing anybody who's listening to this probably saw Sharknado, is familiar with Sharknado. They know what's going on. So we're probably going to be a little fast and loose with the plot points.
Just like the movie.
Just like the movie.
The movie is fast and loose with everything. This thing just is one random ridiculous moment to another, just kind of tumbling out.
And
like
only,
sharks out of a tornado.
And I've only seen it once. So, and you, some of you guys have actually seen
I've seen it 2.5 times.
Only saw it the once. It just made a strong impression.
Me too. Okay, I've only seen it once.
Okay. So maybe we're all confused.
I had to watch it again because I couldn't remember enough from it.
I couldn't. The opening scene of Sharknado is even more confusing to me after seeing the movie than it was while I was watching it. What is going on? What is happening in this scene?
It's just some random scene. I mean, it's like you figure it's going to have something to do with something. But
there are these guys out in a boat, right? And isn't there some dude, there's some kind of illegal activity going on here with, the Asian mafia or something?
But is it illegal? A guy is out on a boat negotiating for the boat's, catch of sharks, they're catching sharks. I think it's what's going on.
I thought they were poachers and some guy from the Japanese government.
I think I missed that scene. I came in late.
This is the pre-credit teaser scene.
Yeah.
These characters have nothing to do with the movie whatsoever.
No, and in fact, it's the most
it's like stock
it's
footage from
confusing.
Deadliest Catch.
All of a sudden a businessman is on the Deadliest Catch boat being and negotiating with this captain of we'll pay you a couple hundred thousand. The ship captain's no, it's $1 million for our shark catch.
But then a shark jumps out of the water and bites him.
Well, let's go. First he says, or he pulls a gun on him and says, I need $1 million. And the guy goes, okay, I'll give you $1 million. And then they go upstairs and there's a hurricane or a water spout going on or something. And,
yeah, all of a sudden sharks.
And the guy pulls a gun on the other guy and he's holding the gun. And then a shark comes up and takes the Asian guy off the boat and eats him, and then there's sharks flying all around.
A bloody scream.
Yeah, then, it shows a tight shot of the captain and wind and water, and then sharks flying around, and one takes him down or something, and it's like.
And here's my question.
That was it.
Why are we even seeing the negotiation? Why is there even a negotiation? Why isn't it just a scene on a boat of this Deadliest Catch boat getting overrun by sharks?
Because
in the air?
They want us to think it's going to be one type of movie, and then it's kind of like when they kill Janet Leigh in Psycho, you think it's going one way, and then all of a sudden they throw it for a loop.
I guess so. I did not.
Except it was the first 2 minutes of the film.
And nobody
cares. Wow, you had you thinking this. Yeah. And then we're going to go this way for the next hour and a half.
Yeah. I guess the lesson is if you need to negotiate for a giant catch of sharks, don't go out on the boat to negotiate for it. Negotiate it on land.
Yes.
It's just a better environment.
Yes.
Let me go to a Beach Boys scene.
Yes.
With everyone's favorite 90210 cast member, Ian Ziering.
Yes, Steve Sanders, who is a former professional surfer in this movie, I guess.
Yeah, his name is cleverly enough Finn.
Finn Finnegan.
Yeah.
Finn Finnegan.
This old man named Finn Finnegan. Yep. He got bit by a shark in the ocean and again.
So he's out surfing. And there's, like, with his friend, I just have him in my notes as, like, Australian friend. I can't remember his name.
It was, like, Buzz or something.
Or, yeah.
Buzz.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Dorsal.
They're out catching some waves.
Dorsal. Dorsal.
So they're out surfing, and they're kind of, like, surfing with this youngish girl. And, I mean, just...
Well, she's riding, like, isn't she riding, like, the jet ski, or is she surfing, too?
No, she's surfing. Oh, so they're all surfing. Because Australian friend is on the jet ski, is, depending on what shot you're looking at, is either 5 feet away from them or a half mile away from them.
Yeah. They're very loose with the editing here.
Yeah, depending on what is going on in any given moment.
The loose and the fast.
And then all of a sudden, sharks start attacking.
Just come, yeah.
Then they just start attacking.
Yeah, they just start eating this girl, like, while she's surfing.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a lot of stuff of, like, Ian Ziering being like, hey... Get out of the water.
Get to the chopper.
And he just keeps screaming it over and over and over again. Get out of the water.
There's so much of him just being like, there's a shark. Footage of just people like not listening.
Yeah, just like swimming. Yeah, like stock looking around like, beach.
Yeah.
It was basically the scene from Jaws where the little kid gets eaten,
except there's like 25 Jaws.
Yeah, there's like a bunch of sharks and a bunch of people getting eaten and he's trying to yell, get out of the water, get out of the water.
And he himself stays in the water.
Oh, and the girl gets eaten, right?
Yeah, she gets eaten.
And then Australian guy gets bitten.
On a jet ski, which reminded me a lot of Jaws 4.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the moment in Jaws 4 when the woman on the jet ski gets attacked and how awkward it is where she kind of has to fall into the shark's mouth in order to be attacked?
And then he fights the shark off by tapping him with his surfboard. It's like, hey, go away, hey.
Yeah.
And the shark like swims away, so he gets his Australian friend
and drags him to the beach.
I love to
the jet ski it to the beach.
When they get to the beach and they show the carnage, there's like one guy with his leg like obviously just buried in the sand with like red on his knee, and he's like, like his leg got bitten off.
There's other people being
Gary, your foot's just in the sand. Oh, the sand is really hot.
Thank God.
There's other people being attacked by sharks, but these people are standing in what is clearly 2 to 3 inches of water.
The logic and biology in this film are just thrown away.
Then they get Australian guy on the beach, and he's been attacked by a shark, and like someone comes over to give first aid, and they're like, "All right, we got to put a tourniquet on." I'm like, "Whoa!" Like, that's pretty advanced.
I love too. They're like making jokes, like, "Oh, I guess they don't like Vegemite." Ha ha ha! And in the background, there's people still screaming, like,
"There's people getting literally decapitated by sharks."
The guy's leg is still like bleeding all over the place, but they're like, "I guess they don't like Vegemite." Oh, that's not funny.
And except then, they do, because your leg has been bitten to the bone. So.
And then moments later, like, I got very confused.
This is the best cutscene to...
Because, like, moments later, we're now inside Ian Ziering's bar.
And everyone's completely cool.
Everyone's completely cool. And I'm like, oh, okay. And this must be weeks later, because a tourniquet was put on the Australian guy's leg. Well, this has to be weeks later.
And, and like 25 people were just massacred. Yeah.
He's standing there talking about it like it's an old war wound. He's like, and then they get that shark and he got me and I wasn't scared at all. And then Finn came in and he saved me and he's telling the story. And he's like, oh, stop it.
Yeah.
And there's this, and John Hurt is in it.
Yes.
And he is like this drunk guy at the end of the bar. You get the sense he's going to be our comic relief character. And there's this young, attractive waitress, and they imply that she's got something going on.
I like how you remember all this. We saw it like months ago, and he still remembers all the dialogue.
They don't just imply it. Nova's like,
no,
hey.
She like grabs him. She's like, ugh. Yeah, and he's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, she's all over Ian Ziering, who's like, hey,
I'm your boss.
I love too how like every scene she finds out something new about him, and she's like surprised, like, you have a wife?
Yeah.
You have a son?
This is so crazy.
You have a daughter?
They've been working together.
She is all over him, but she apparently knows nothing
before?
About him. No, I don't know. And this subplot,
I just like making sexual advances to you, but I never knew anything about you until now.
I did not understand her the whole Nova subplot didn't make sense to me, because they really played up where you're like, oh wow, okay, like she's really cool. Maybe Ian Ziering's character should be with her. Nope, they never follow through on that at all. And in fact, that's kind of like the storyline of the first half of this movie, is you think they're going to be together.
Yeah.
And then that storyline just evaporates.
Yeah. So they're staying in the bar, and then suddenly sharks, they just burst through the window.
And there's a great like TV news clip playing where, because the whole time I'm like, where is this Sharknado coming from? And I'm like, was that cutscene with the businessman on the fishing boat explaining it? And you just get this like TV news report. They're like, a tornado with sharks is in the air. Experts say it's from global warming. And I'm like, what? That's it? That's all I love we're going to get?
That reporter, her sign off is, this is Johnny Graves. That's Johnny with an I. Like, that's her sign off for every package.
Yeah.
Even in serious stories where multiple people have been murdered.
And then the sharks start crashing through the windows.
There were no survivors. Johnny Graves, Johnny with an I.
Yeah.
All right, Johnny with an I.
So the bar is like, and we should mention too, it is very hard to figure out what is going on because sharks are coming through the windows, yet some of the stock footage they're using of Santa Monica is on a perfectly sunny day.
Oh, that happens throughout the whole movie.
I was so I'm like, wait, is a storm coming up? I can't tell because
they keep talking about this giant storm that's like tearing up the coast.
And these guys aren't even thinking to evacuate. They're sitting in a bar just hamming it up.
Because the storm only lasts for like 5 minutes at a time. Like there's this huge storm, all these waves and rain and sharks. And
dark sky.
And then, like, 5 minutes later, like, the streets are dry. Everyone's outside on the sidewalk hanging out. And it's like, we got to get away from this because the storm's coming. And it's like, the storm just happened. I don't understand.
And so it's like some shots they were like, oh, we should Adobe After Effects some storm stuff in. And then other shots they were like, screw it. No, we don't have time.
Now we're We're coming up on, like, the first major action scene in the movie, aren't we?
Here. They run over. Is that during this scene? Or is that later with like the Ferris wheel and everything?
That's here. They're just trying to evacuate. Well, they kill all the sharks. Dislodged.
They kill some sharks. We find out that Nova is a really good shot.
Yeah, and they run outside, and John Hurd has.
She's got the shotgun that she only ever uses at the end of each scene. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on you there. I just wanted to make sure that every time Nova has the shotgun, she will do nothing with it until the very last moment of the scene where she seems to realize, oh, I've got a shotgun. Pow.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So they run outside and. The storm is raging and all this stuff's going on, and this big Ferris wheel comes off its hinges and rolls down the boardwalk, and it crushes a guy.
It comes down the Santa Monica Pier, which, by the way, Ferris wheels are not like giant tractor wheels. It crushes a guy. It then goes into a hotel, crushing most of like an 8-story building.
Yep.
It's a Ferris wheel. These are not... Like, if this was the truth, you'd think, like, Ferris wheels were used as weapons.
Yeah. They're like medieval weapons to completely level a battlefield.
Yeah.
I question whether a Ferris wheel would roll so evenly over a long course of time, too.
Yeah.
So then the storm stops, and they're like, okay.
Sharknado over?
Well, no, now he's got to go. The Ian Zink Finn is on the outs with his ex-wife, played by Tara Reid, and he's trying to get to his children.
I want
to
question you right there. Is Tara Reid really playing her? Because I'm not sure Tara Reid's aware that she's playing a character in this movie. I think...
Good point.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but go
on. They just got Tara Reid drunk one day. They're like, Tara, sharks are falling from the sky. Go!
He wants to see Tara Reid because he wants to make sure that his kids are safe.
Correct.
From the shark.
So that's basically the plot that gets them moving. So they all get in an SUV and they take off.
Yeah.
And they use this SUV a lot in the movie because it's like a cheap set. So for a lot of this movie, you're going to see them sitting crammed in an SUV with generic white light pouring through the windows.
There is so much of this movie is shot. That really is what this movie should be called. Shots from inside an SUV and stock footage.
And then the stock footage they show as they're driving around is actual flood footage. Yeah. Like actual news footage of people's homes being washed away. And they shamelessly put shark fins going through them.
Did you know?
Are you sure that wasn't really what happened? All right, local news affiliates, give us all your footage of sharks running into buildings during floods.
Did you notice in one of the stock footage scenes, they show a park and there's a sign, a big sign right in the corner. Not a word in the sign is English. This is clearly stock footage from another country. I don't know what country.
They just wanted to show the Sharknado was international.
It's down clearly in Baja somewhere. Asian country. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you couldn't even crop that out of the shot?
There was one hilarious scene. It was around this part. As you guys mentioned, you know, they constantly cut to the car scene.
Well, they're also trying to get on the freeway. Like, that seems to be their main goal at this particular point.
Do you guys notice that one scene where... I don't know why this is in the movie, but they like showed them in the car and like no one had anything to say. And like the dialogue literally was like, so it's probably going to start raining again.
Yeah.
The other guy's like, yep. Yeah. Probably a couple minutes. Yeah. And they just cut to them driving again. Great.
And there's like so many LA jokes in here. Like there's like, if you don't live in LA,
yeah.
jokes about the 405 are yeah. not like, funny.
I hate the 405.
It's not funny. Or like the John Hurd character's like, oh, like he gives these intricate directions for like how to get to Beverly Hills. And then they're like, how do you know how to get to Beverly Hills? He's like, oh, I live in Beverly Hills. And the character's like, you live in Beverly Hills? Meanwhile, everyone home is like, what the hell's going on? what is this?
Well, yeah, because he's like, if you live in Beverly Hills, why do you drive down to the pier every day for drinks or whatever? And it's like, they already said it was like 6.6 miles away from the bar. So it's like, it's only 6 miles. Why wouldn't you go 6 miles?
Oh, that's a fantastic scene. Well, they show up at Tara Reid's house. Or no, on the phone. And I'm sorry, and Ian Ziering says to Tara Reid, he's like, you got to get out of there. This storm, you know, the sharks are, you know, the flood is coming inland. And Tara Reid goes, we're 100 miles from the ocean. And Ian Ziering's like, no, you're 6.6 miles. And I'm like, okay. Like which one is
you're,
it? I don't
You're
I
really, way off there.
Somewhere yeah, in between? Really or?
Know. Yeah, does she live in Bakersfield or does she live in Beverly Hills?
She in Nevada?
I would have loved if they cut back to her and she just went, oh, I was way off.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, actually, I can see the ocean from the house. Never mind.
So weird.
So well, they're driving. They're trying to get on the freeway.
The 405. And it's jammed.
And
of course, it's like a river with sharks on it.
And the on-ramp is jammed, but like the way it's shot, it's so weird. It's like shots are so removed from one another. It feels like they're not even like the way they're patched together is weird, but they're like waiting to get on the 405 and and it's like flooding and there's sharks all over and people are like freaking out and trying to run away and some woman's trying to get a dog out of her car and
well, so much of the stock footage was clearly taken just on like a regular day around LA with people just driving normally.
Oh yeah.
So you'll cut from like a scene where everyone's like all jittery and like spazzing out to like a background where people are driving at like
under
the speed limit just like normally.
Well, and it happens too. Whoops.
That was a shark that just.
It happens too later when they're driving their big. Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome.
When they're driving their big movie car around and they're like speeding through the streets of LA and stuff, and all the other cars driving like 35 miles an hour, just kind of going to work or going to Dunkin' Donuts or whatever, and it's like no one else is in a hurry, but this car's like,
yeah.
So
businesses don't close during a sharknado. That's not a recognized thing yet.
So John Hurd helps the woman get her dog out of the car by breaking the window with his bar stool that she brought with him.
Of course, he keeps his trusty bar stool with him. And, that's the one thing he grabbed when he left the bar.
Yeah.
And then he gets eaten by a shark.
It falls out of the sky.
And then he gets eaten by a shark.
Yeah. And then they all get in the... I love his whole... Finn's whole thing, too, with how he gets on the freeway. He's like... Because the waves are, like, coming in over the freeway or over the on-ramp, and he's got to... If there's anything I know, it's about timing waves. So he, like, counts down the waves so he can drive when the waves are, like...
Yeah. Well, can we make fun of one other thing, too, that I got a big laugh out of? When John Hurd's character is killed... He's mourned by the other characters in the movie for about 15 seconds.
Yeah.
But he's mourned by the musical score for about 4 minutes. Like, yeah. His score is super sad for 4 minutes while the characters have completely moved on to other things.
Probably because it was lifted from another movie.
Yeah.
It would have been funny if at one point one of the characters just, like, changed the radio station and the music stopped in the movie. God, so depressing.
And so there's also a crazy line that was just thrown in there. I have no idea what it means. They're, like, talking about the effects of this flood, and all of a sudden Ian Ziering's like, don't worry, everyone. The electronics have been sealed with silicone. What does that mean?
Electronics like, what?
What electronics?
He's saying
he can drive through the water in the car. I guess it won't get ruined by the water.
Like, he's explaining away the audience's questions of how the hell can he drive through the water, because that's clearly the biggest logic problem with this film.
How his
SUV can drive
up to the
windows.
Is the four-wheel drive
forgetting the fact that a shark can fall 700 feet, land on the ground, survive the fall without splatting, eat people, and continue to squiggle around without being underwater.
Yeah, that was mystifying to me. I'm like, that you want to cover? That the electronics are all sealed in silicone?
I know. Okay. Later on, a shark bites the roof off the car. They don't. That's fine. But...
That's fine. Yeah. Okay, so now we get...
So they get to Tara Reid's house.
And there's a little bit, we should mention Beverly Hills, too. We get, like, you know, kind of like the classic Beverly Hills shots with, like, except there's, like, a shark on, like, the Prada store.
Yeah, except for that.
They're trying to, like, exploit some national iconic images.
I like that show, like, the storm drain, too, and there's sharks coming out of the storm drain. And
yes. Yeah, they cut to that shot a couple of times. Yeah. I was like, oh,
there was some reused footage.
So they pull up to the house and they all get out and knock on the door. And Tyreed's like, "You can't come in. Mike got a boyfriend now. He's gonna protect me."
And then there's this.
And he's like, "And who's your stripper friend?" Because the girl's there. And
the Nova or whatever.
And Nova's like, "I just like to clarify, I'm not a stripper."
I want to say at this point that I was so hoping that the new boyfriend was gonna be like Luke Perry.
Oh.
Just like a little, like in a cameo role. I thought that would have been awesome. I was like, oh, that would be awesome. It was like Luke Perry or Jason Priestley. I thought that would have been awesome. But no, sadly it wasn't.
Yeah.
Sadly.
And we should really talk. I mean, if anybody's, the next time you're watching this, because if someone's listening to this, I'm guessing they're a Sharknado fan. The next time you're watching this, just focus your watching on Tara Reid. It is fantastic. She looks so spaced out and unaware in all of her scenes. I could watch this movie again a dozen times only with her scenes on in them. There's some stuff later on in the movie we're going to get into involving Tara Reid that is just absolutely Oscar-worthy. And she looks terrible.
The years have not been kind on Tara Reid.
No, well, and her lifestyle has not been kind on Tara Reid. Yeah.
Really, nothing or no one has been kind to Tara Reid.
Yeah.
Well, Jack, what are you indicating with that hand motion?
She just parties hard, and you know it sometimes catches up with you. But you know what? She showed up.
Jack would know.
She's trying. The movie wouldn't be the same without her. I think I'm defending it.
I would disagree on the trying part, but she did cheat to show up. A little behind the scenes. So the stuff in Tara Reid's house. So this set starts to flood and sharks start coming into the house. They built this set over a swimming pool.
I will say this was kind of creative, the sinking house effect. Of anything to be an honest compliment, apart from, oh my God, that was so horrible. This was somewhat elaborate. This house was sinking.
The water was rising.
But the set was clearly sinking into the pool, but I thought it was an effective effect.
Well, I think they might have just been filling up the pool. While they were,
they built the house in the pool and then filled the pool up. Yeah.
However, it
worked.
The director has said that there were problems, and the team of people they hired to build the house set left it unfinished. In a very fast hour and a half before they were shooting the scenes, the production team had to make some quick set dressing and to make it, so they could shoot on it. A little of that, I'm guessing, is noticeable. Did anyone notice what is on the walls of the staircase?
No.
Behind them? It's 8x10s of the actors in the movie. There's just an 8x10 of Tara Reid's face, and there's an 8x10 of the boy. Like, they're clearly, like, just actor headshots. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like headshots?
Yeah. They're just, and, like, the actor, there's one of the boyfriend, and, like, I'm like, wow.
They called everyone up. Bring a headshot today.
Well, I'm guessing like the production office probably had headshots, and they were just like, throw that in a frame, put it up there.
They're really vain people. They don't have any family pictures. They're just headshots of themselves.
Yeah, just.
So the boyfriend gets eaten.
He gets eaten.
Yes, he does. And then there's this big elaborate fight between, what are they using to try to crush the shark? Like, the shark gets in and they're like pushing like a piano or something against it. What were they using?
A bookshelf or something.
And again, Nova doesn't realize she has the shotgun until right at the end of the scene.
I love too, so they kill the shark and the boyfriend's dead and all the water's red. And like this off-screen, like 80-yard line, you hear the Australian guy go, "Oh, it looks like that time of the month."
Wow, really?
They never show him. There's just like this weird line off-screen. It's like barely even audible.
It came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's barely even audible. It's like,
I really expected like Tara Reid and the Nova character to be like, "Hey, come on,
it's a little crude." Yeah.
Guy just died, man.
Yeah.
So they, I like too, because Finn like, "I'm gonna distract the shark, and you guys run outside of the car." And he runs one way and everyone runs the other way and goes to the car. And then like there's this weird shot of like them waiting. And then he like pops out of a bush. And he's like, "Okay, let's go." It's like, how did he?
He just
ran away from the shark and like popped up behind a bush.
And
outside.
I dare anyone here to explain to me how there was 4 feet of water in the house, but the driveway directly outside that room was completely
dry. Incredible
dry.
Insulation in the house.
I think those are great windows.
I was half expecting Ian Ziering to be like, "Don't worry, everyone. They wrapped the house in silicone."
Every house has been prepared to withstand the Sharknado.
Well,
then the house explodes. Yeah,
they drive away, the house just explodes.
This is the best scene ever.
Silicone can only do so much.
Whenever a house explodes randomly, I love it.
No, there's a better one later when a car explodes for no reason.
Yep.
Wow.
So they drive away and they're fighting in the car about how he left them or whatever and this whole family drama.
Yeah, they're trying to get a little backstory, I guess.
And he finds out his son is in
some kind of military prep school.
Flight school, yeah.
At which point, Nova goes, "You have a son? Like, why does that surprise you? You just found out he had a daughter."
Nothing about him.
Yeah.
Wait. You have a daughter and a son?
Yeah.
How many cats do you have?
Wait, you had a house?
So, where do they go next?
Well, I think they actually...
Is this where they go to the flight school?
I think they're trying to go to the flight school. No, not yet.
They go to save his son. That's the first. I think they go. Is this where they like go to the convenience store?
Oh, they go to a convenience store. Yeah, you're right. Where a guy gives out of nowhere a random anti-government, sort of like Edward Snowden-esque like propaganda messages in here, which weaves like again never followed up on. Right. I'm like, okay.
And basically, yeah, they just take a bunch of food and stuff, and then.
And
leave?
I think, is this where the school bus...
Oh, no, okay. First they... I'm trying to think. Okay, maybe it's the school bus first. Here. I think it's the school bus first. So okay. They go, they're driving along, and they see a school bus is like half submerged in the water, and there's all
and
sharks
they're up above. They're
swimming
on a bridge.
Around. So they
kids
go...
Kids are screaming inside.
So, well, they don't know there's kids in there, because Tara Reid's like, you don't know if there's anyone in there, let's just go, and Finn's like, oh, we should probably see if we can help. And
by the way,
and she's like, this is just like you, always caring about other people more than your own family. And he's like, I'm gonna help. So he drives up to like the overpass and he rappels down.
There's like a winch or something.
Which,
by the way, they just drove past
this bus when the water level was very low.
This bus is submerged.
They did not just walk up to the bus and be like, hey, do you guys need help? It was simpler to drive to a nearby bridge and rappel down to it.
Still not knowing if anyone's in there.
Right.
Yeah.
So he rappels down, and there's a whole class full of kids in there, and some weird guy, and they just one by one take all the kids up.
So much rappelling.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's just like 5 minutes of just rappelling and getting the kids up one by one,
and there's this triumphant, you know, heroic music.
Nothing spells excitement more than a rappelling montage.
Yeah.
And they get the teacher out or whoever he is, and then. Finn goes up and there's a shark attacks him and he cuts the wire or the rope or whatever, and it's kind of just crazy.
I feel like that was not... Something changed in editing in that scene. Like, I feel like something changed there. Like, it didn't feel like that was what was originally intended.
Yeah.
Maybe they were going to have a kid get eaten.
I'm sure, because, like, I mean, it wouldn't make any sense because there was no shark attacks during the whole... escape. So
yeah, what were they waiting for?
You should probably have a shark attack there, because otherwise it's just kind of like, hey, we got him out of the bus. Like, was there any danger?
And why did Aaron Ziering, who lets a shark that's trying to eat him hang onto the rope for like 30 seconds, and then he's like, you know what? I've had enough. I'm going to cut you loose now. You have 30 seconds of you trying to eat me. It's just, you know
you
what?
You had your chance.
10 or 12 seconds I'm fine with, but now I'm going to cut you loose.
Yeah.
He has that Captain Kirk from Search for Spock moment. I've had enough of you, and he cuts the thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he gets
that
up,
one
and then,
went way over my head.
And then...
feel really left out right now.
That is actually a pretty deep pull.
That is.
That's
what
I thought about her lines. I've had enough of you.
I may have actually thought that when I was in theater. I remember.
And,
did you,
so,
Jack? Did you?
Maybe. I don't remember.
No, I haven't answered in 5 minutes.
So then everyone's safe. It's like, okay, everything's safe. It's sunny again for some reason.
Oh, of course.
And then for some reason, the Hollywood sign like blows away.
and it hits a guy.
The teacher gets crushed.
There's like a teacher like doing like a, what's he like doing a field trip or something? Up
yeah,
there?
And he is.
Well,
he's like
he was from the bus.
He's doing a field trip.
He's like, my mom said Hollywood would kill me. And then the Hollywood sign collapses and kills him.
Yeah.
Like,
ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, and that was like, the thing that I found about this movie is the intentional comedy bits did not work for me very well, but the unintentional, you know, because clearly some of this movie is tongue-in-cheek,
they're going for that,
and those bits were kind of a failure, but when it's not trying to be funny is when this movie is at its most hilarious.
Yes,
so then they go to the convenience store, and they see, because they're like, oh, somehow his car gets destroyed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think it gets crushed by the Hollywood sign. And so they go to the convenience store, and he's like, oh, we need a ride. And they look across the street, and there's, like, movie vehicles for sale. And he's like, I got an idea. And Finn's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the next scene, they're, like, driving this car from, like, some action movie. And it's, like, this big, like, Hummer, and it's got, like, armor and stuff on it. And
yep.
And it's got nitrous in it, too, for some reason.
Which we then get a scene that I just absolutely shattered my mind trying to under... The editing of it blew me away.
Yeah.
Where they come to an intersection where
like a fender bender, or
like
something.
Police in like short sleeves are like handling a fender bender.
Yeah, in the middle of a Sharknado hurricane thing,
with everyone dying, and they like our heroes have to like gun it across an intersection. Essentially, Ian Ziering commits a traffic violation, which starts a police chase in the middle of a Sharknado.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay.
Really, like, handing out traffic tickets right now?
Yeah, like, why is this even in
and
the
then
movie?
Then he hits the nitrous to escape the bike cop.
Yeah, which nitrous in this movie is treated like the turbo button in a video game. Like, you don't... You just hit it and you get as much, right. like, you know, boost for as
like
long
Mario,
as you need it.
A game of Mario Kart broke out.
Yeah, it's like he found a star, yeah. You know, and he's like, take off now.
So they, throw some Koopa shells back at him.
They escape from the cop. And they, I think this is where they go to the, they end up at the flight school.
Yeah.
And they go inside and they find
everyone
hiding in the closet.
Oh, God, this scene's hilarious. This scene is so funny. Nova goes into the flight school. I laughed about this for
this
so long when I was watching it. Nova goes into the flight school. They're all looking for, like, his son. Nova, like, opens a closet. There's a bunch of people in there. She's holding a shotgun. And she's, like, pointed at him. She's like, is there a Matt here? And it's like, I'm Matt. What do you want? I found Matt. Clearly, all these flight school people should be like, we're about to be murdered. A crazy woman with a shotgun is looking for us. Yeah. She is not there to help. There's no reason to think that she is helping them at all.
And I like how all of them are just like cooped up in this tiny little like storage locker hiding.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they get hit again with another hurricane microburst or something. Like, it comes through, it sucks the one woman out of the window.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all get in the closet and they're like...
And it, like, holds up.
Yeah. They're, like, holding themselves up in the closet for, like 90 seconds. And then it's, like, goes away. They're like, okay, it's gone again.
Yeah.
I don't understand the storm. It's
this storm is...
It's supposed to be, like, a
hurricane. Sharknado. I feel sorry for the meteorologists on that day. They must be, like...
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have torrential downpours, followed by sharks, then a period of clear skies, followed by a hurricane.
Yeah.
And more sharks.
Depending on where you're standing, this might be typical LA weather in the 60s, or it might look like the Philippines in the middle of a monsoon.
Yeah.
So I think this is where the tornadoes actually break out. Now there's actual water spouts with sharks.
Because at this point, we haven't seen a Sharknado yet.
Right.
It's really been a...
Sharky cane.
Yeah.
So they decide that they're going to, and this plan I have no idea if there's any science behind this or theory about this at all. But they decide like if we drop bombs in the tornado,
I love this.
They'll dissipate.
Well, and they get the idea of like let's go over to this surplus store and get.
They're gonna like make dynamite or something.
Get weapons. So Ian Ziering's like, "Hello, chainsaws," and I'm like, "What are you doing? What is it?"
And this is also when they.
It's a weather event.
And this is also when they decide to take a touching moment scene between Ian Ziering and his daughter, isn't it?
Yeah,
like when they're getting armed.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, it's not really that touching. She's like, "You always." You care for Matt more than me. And he's like, I gave you first. All right, let's go. And I was like,
Not wrapped up. Yeah. And it's really meaningless. The daughter storyline and Nova's storyline in this movie go nowhere.
Yeah. No, they don't. No.
Well, then they have
there's also a great moment of when Ian Ziering gets the chainsaw and he's trying to get everyone prepared. And he's like, hey, Tara Reid, you need something too. And he hands Tara Reid a hedge trimmer. What is a hedge trimmer? If you know how a hedge trimmer works, unless the shark is actually willing to put its mouth in between the blades of a hedge trimmer.
You can prop a shark's mouth open.
Yeah, you're really not going to be able to do much with a hedge trimmer.
It could work. You don't know.
So they make a bunch of bombs.
Yes.
And the plan is Nova and Matt, the son, are going to
Because he can fly a helicopter.
They're going to go up in a helicopter and fly by each of the three tornadoes, or sharknadoes.
Did anybody catch the Crocodile Dundee joke in here? The really bad crocodile.
Is it the knife? About the
knife? When the Australian guy, Nova and Matt are like making these propane bombs, and then the Australian friend is like comes up behind them. He's like, hey, this is a bomb. And I'm like, oh, God.
Yes.
I do remember that now.
Because
he's got a bigger bomb.
So I groaned audibly.
His plan is he's got a big bomb that he's going to drive the truck into the hurricane, I guess, because he's like, you got a family, I'll sacrifice myself, and then he gets eaten by a shark like 2 seconds later before he can actually do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he gets eaten by a shark. Nova and Matthew, or Matt, I don't know why I called Matthew, go up.
Really formal.
It's very formal.
Yeah, things just get formal. It is,
yeah.
Matthew, they go, to fly up in a helicopter.
They go up in the helicopter, and They start throwing bombs in all the Sharknadoes, and somehow it works. And they, as the Australian guy described it, tornadoes are made up of hot air and cool air coming together. So if you neutralize it with a bomb, it'll dissipate.
Yeah, I mean,
sure. Hey, why not
say that? I've heard they started trying that in the Midwest after this movie, and it's had incredible success.
They might as well just said the Sharknadoes were lined with silicon. Don't worry about it.
And at the same time, for some reason, everyone else runs over to like a nursing or a nursing home.
Like a nursing home.
And like somebody, a shark lands in the swimming pool. One shark. And there's people in the swimming pool, and they have to. Ann Ziering has to get them out.
When they
cut to the shot of the sharks in the swimming pool, it's five sharks like in formation. Yeah. So he
dumps
seawater.
I like he dumps gasoline in the swimming pool and lights it, and wait, it explodes.
Nobody's in the pool.
There is no one in the pool. Why does Ann Ziering find it necessary to pour gasoline into a swimming pool that has zero people in it?
And the pool just explodes. He gets thrown like 10 feet, and it's like.
Yeah, what did he put in there? I mean,
that nitro stuff in the car.
Yeah.
Super gasoline.
This pool blew up like it was in, like, Fair Game or, like, one of those other movies we've watched.
There's a bomb in the pool.
At the same time, Nova pulls, like, a Jaws 4, and she falls into a shark's mouth. She gets eaten by a shark.
I have that note right in here, too. You have to fall into a shark's mouth. Yeah.
A shark that's in the air, too, outside the helicopter.
He totally caught her.
She falls into its mouth.
That is not attacking her.
Right.
The shark actually could be even say he was a victim of her falling into his mouth.
Into his gaping jaws. Choking on a stripper. I don't know.
So, then the helicopter starts going down. There's still one more Sharknado they haven't destroyed yet. So the helicopter's, like, going down and it eventually just lands. And at some point along this time, too, is the famous shot of Finn with the chainsaw as the shark comes out at him and he saws it in half.
Oh, yeah, because what happens is...
Which got a big cheer in the theater.
Ian Ziering drives a truck into the final Sharknado. Truck full of bombs into the final Sharknado. And it blows up, and then he's running back, and a shark is coming in his family, so he has a chainsaw, and he dives.
Oh, this is the exception one where he dives into the shark's mouth.
Is the trailer shot.
He dives into a shark's mouth.
As it's falling at him. So then the shark falls to the ground, and you hear the chainsaw
inside. They're all like, now, can I just say something about their reactions? Like, Tara Reid's close-up and everybody else's reaction close-ups almost looks like the director framed them with the sky behind them and said, give me scared, give me concerned, give me upset, give me depressed, give me excited. And they just inserted them
except
as they needed them.
Tara Reid heard, give me, you're waiting in line at the supermarket to check out. And we should say, all right, let's analyze this scene. So, given what we know now, Ian Ziering dives into a medium-sized shark with a running chainsaw.
He launches himself like some 30 feet in the air,
it looks
like.
He's inside the shark.
Yes.
He then proceeds, the chainsaw still running, proceeds to cut himself out of the shark's body, steps out of the shark, chainsaw still running.
Yes.
Then reaches back in and pulls Nova out.
Who's still alive.
To be inside. How is she not chopped to bits by the running chainsaw that was inside the shark?
I groaned so loud at this in the theater, too.
I thought that was great because I was thinking to myself, when they're all standing around the shark and the music's all sad and they're like, oh my God, he's dead. And then all of a sudden you hear the chainsaw going and it's like, oh, like the glimmer of hope. And he reaches his hand out and triumphant music like, dun, dun, dun. And he like pulls himself out. I was like, oh my God.
Knew, I said
he better go back in for it.
As he's pulling her out, I'm like, oh no. And Jack goes, yeah. <'Cause>,
like, literally, that's what happened. Yeah.
Because it's like, out of all these thousands of sharks in the air, the one that he dives into is the one that Nova's in. Like, did he know she was in there?
Yeah.
Because he didn't see her get eaten.
Yeah.
So
I feel like movies in general, whether it be like this movie with sharks or like Pinocchio with whales, like, they really don't do a very good service to, like, big, like, sea creatures' digestive systems.
Right.
Because how often does this happen in movies? Someone gets eaten, and it could be, like, a day can go by.
Yeah.
And that then shark, they'll find them completely intact in the belly.
That shark ate two people whole in, like, a span of 10 minutes. He doesn't chew his food, obviously.
Yeah.
He just eats them whole.
Just eats whole people.
Yeah.
And they're completely, they're just chilling
in the
belly.
700-foot fall.
I would love to see that scene of them, like, in there. Oh, hey, Nova, how you doing? I'm going to get us out of here.
I would have rather seen the scene of him cutting himself out of the shark, stepping up and be like, it's all right, everyone, I'm alive. And then him pulling up like a hamburger Nova. He's like, I'm sorry, the shark also ate Nova and I just chopped her to bits with this chainsaw. I didn't know she was in there. I really feel guilty
I'm
right
sorry,
now.
I'm sorry, but here's her arm.
And then with fish guts and all, he has a passionate embrace with Tara Reid, because now through this event, even though the romance was between Nova and Ian Ziering, Finn, now he's reconciling with his wife.
I have
Tara
no
Reid.
Idea why he has any interest in reconciling with her. She is like so uninteresting
why
in this
is,
movie.
This was so confusing to me why Ian Ziering and Nova are not together at the end of this movie. And actually, I read an interview with the actress who played Nova, who said she also didn't understand why.
Yeah. Did she end up with Matt? Because it
she
made
did.
It seem like.
It does. It seems like she's with the son at the end of the movie, which is really awkward.
Really? Yeah.
I mean, that's an awkward father-son conversation down the road.
In a film with no character arcs, it does kind of make sense that he would just randomly abandon the one love interest for the other. I think I'm going to get back with my wife anyway, you know?
I guess it also would have been awkward, though, if he didn't get back with his ex-wife when her boyfriend just got killed.
But the wife is so awful. Like, if that was where they were going, why didn't they play up the Tara Reid character as more of like a misunderstood, you know, but she's just because
she's just there to attach a name to the
She doesn't want him to save a
film.
School bus. She's just
bad
awful.
Person.
Yeah.
Although that may just have been Tara Reid. I don't think that may have been Tara Reid's actual reaction.
Tara, you actually do want them to stop the school bus. No, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Okay, Tara. Remember, you're playing a character here.
We have so many, actually, just so many questions, actually, or so many...
So many questions, so few answers.
I'm going to go with the first one. Sharknado was not the working title of this movie.
No?
Sharknado actually was added, I believe, in post-production.
Wow.
This was shot as a very different title by Asylum Pictures.
The Asylum.
So I'm going to give you guys...
I know what it is.
Do you know what it is? Does everyone know
what
it is?
I have no idea. Cloudy with a Chance of Sharks.
Oh, God, that would have been amazing. Here are three titles. One of these was the production title.
I have no idea.
And actually, I believe they were in editing when this was still the title.
Mm.
Choice one, Fins from the Sky. Choice two, Dark Skies.
Isn't that already a name for a movie?
I don't know.
Choice three, Surf Storm.
I'm going to say Surf Storm.
Okay.
Jackson. Because it fits in with other Asylum pictures like Earth Storm.
Okay.
I'm going to say Dark Skies because there was a Dark Skies movie that came out this summer, too.
Okay.
So I'm going to say they were trying to ape on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, just to be the contrarian, I'll go with Fins in the Sky.
It was Dark Skies,
which
is so generic, which is, again, what kind of leads me to believe
that... And no one would have ever seen that movie.
But there was that movie that came out this summer called Dark Skies, and that's probably why it was.
I think that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a couple years ago, I think.
It was last summer. It sounds like that's actually also part of the reason that Universal, who owns Sci-Fi, was kind of like, we might want to get a different title on this because there was a Dark Skies already out there. And I think that they realized, like, let's play up the campiness.
Yeah.
Like, let's up the campy.
Shark, a movie with shark, just based on the name, was like, you had to see it.
Cause... I'm convinced that the it's that time of the month joke was, like, added in post-production.
Oh, yeah.
Purposely camp it up.
Line,
yeah, they didn't show him at all when he said it.
I think they added a lot of campiness in post.
Yeah.
This had $1 million budget.
Wow.
Is that surprising?
My God.
It looked worse than the Canyons did. So.
It did. I mean, and there's stuff.
There was a lot of effects and stuff, too.
Well, there's so much stock footage. Even for a million dollar movie, there's a lot of stock footage in this.
Yeah.
And here, this is a fun So Wrong It's Right. So, John Hurd, who plays George in the movie, the old guy who likes the bar stool, he was married to Margot Kidder, Lois Lane from the Superman movies.
Really?
In 1979, our So Wrong It's Right question is, how many days was John Hurd married to Margot Kidder for?
Are they around the same age?
They're roughly the same age.
I'm going to say 14 popped into my head. I'm going to say 14.
Okay, Cody's going with 14. We are using Price is Right rules, by the way.
Price is Right rules
are in place.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with one day.
Wow, Jack goes with one day. Okay. Oh my God.
I'm going one day.
Love is dead to Jack. Okay.
Well, I'm going to have to say 15 then.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Brian goes 15. And Jack wins it.
Yes!
They were married for 6 days. For six days in 1979, George Hurd and Margot Kidder.
I thought it had to
married.
Be at least over a week.
You would think so.
What is the story behind that?
Well,
sometimes you got to
Margot Kidder.
Sometimes you got a bit of
balance. I think, as we've talked about on the show, Margot Kidder had some...
Was she crazy at that point, or was it...
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say that she was probably having some issues at that point, since she had a full-blown mental breakdown in the mid-90s. And she... I'm guessing that there were some issues there, but 6 days.
Yeah. Huh. Like, you shouldn't be married for less than 6 days unless one of you dies.
Yes. Or you're a Kardashian. I mean, you know, but yeah. I gotta...
How do you get married, go through all that, and then 6 days later, how could the paperwork even process that quickly? Like, you have to get that going, like, the day of the wedding right. to get divorced in 6 days.
It's pretty impressive, yeah. I don't even know how you figure that out. And also, the director has said that he is in favor of people making fun of this movie, and said that sitting in the editing room, his quote is, "Have you ever sat in an editing room with an editor and filmmaker for 4 months? We've probably said worse things than anyone could ever say. We pick it apart right down to the minutia." So the original mockery of this movie was starting before it was even finished. Yep. Yeah.
Tell you the truth, I think this is a fantastic film. I think it's a lot of fun. It's ridiculous. It doesn't lie about what it is.
It's fun to watch. I had a good time watching it.
I wouldn't say it's fantastic, but it was fun to watch.
It's a fun watch.
Yeah. What I wanted to look up was, last time I checked, this had a pretty favorable rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, it's only 3.5 on IMDb.
It was like, I think I want to say like 81% or something like that on Rotten Tomatoes.
And the reviews going into it, it was all kind of like, oh, it's bad, but it's supposed to be bad. And I feel like a lot of people were like tricked.
Yeah.
Because like we were talking about before, I think they were trying to make a legitimate horror. Yeah, it's 81%.
I think they were going for like an early 90s Peter Jackson style horror comedy.
Yeah.
And I do think that this... Well, I don't think a lot of the comedy in this is intentional. Some is. Some clearly is, but some is not.
I've seen an awful lot of Asylum movies and Sci-Fi Channel originals, and I find it very hard to believe that any of those films are made without a tongue-in-cheek attitude, at least on some level. Because they're always about some shark-octopus hybrid or some giant alligator killing people in the swamp. The effects are bad. They're really, again, loose with the storytelling, like the shot in 13 days. I get the sense that maybe this was like the ultimate, like this is like their benchmark film in this genre of what has been called mockbusters, where this film company, usually it's the Asylum, but it's other film companies too, and they've been doing this for years to try to cash in on big films, but now they're kind of cashing in on themselves, because how many Shark Attack movies have been made by the Sci-Fi Channel? Right. Each one is so bad. There's one where there's like a walking tank. I forget which one that was. You know, and they're always just these lame shark movies. There's one with Sharktopus, which is a Roger Corman, but it looks like a Sci-Fi Channel movie.
Yeah.
These movies are so bad that I just think that anyone working on them would be just like, yeah, we're just having fun with it. This is goofy. Go ahead, pick on it, you know? So I don't feel like anyone was particularly tricked going in, because they knew. Mm. You got to know that the filmmakers alone are sort of picking on themselves. For a decade, they've been making these CGI shark movies.
I think they're in on the joke, but I think they're in on a joke to a degree.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm agreeing with Brian. Like, I think there's a degree to which they're probably hoping, like, oh, this is going to be like action and comedy, like what A Good Day to Die Hard wanted to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And was not. Like, of all the movies we've watched, I would almost equate this to A Good Day to Die Hard.
I don't know, because I mean, when we saw it, they showed like a behind the scenes thing afterwards, and it seemed like they're just all having fun with it. I think it was one of those movies where it's like, hey, we're making a movie, we're having fun with it, we got $1 million. If you enjoy it because you hate it, great. If you enjoy it because you like it, great. If you don't like it, whatever.
Yeah.
I think it was just that kind of thing. Like, we made a movie and we had fun doing it.
We're throwing it out there.
But it wasn't like, you know, a Hot Fuzz or Shaun of the Dead where they're just like, all right, there's some stupid aspects of this, but we're going all in on the comedy. Like, I think there were a lot of scenes where, like you said, they were trying to make a legitimate action scene.
Well, I think so, but I think they're just having fun making movies, what I think. I mean,
yeah.
It didn't take itself too seriously.
I took it really seriously, Cody. You know what?
You weren't one of the filmmakers.
The day
though.
The Sharknado comes, I'm going to be prepared.
With your gender?
Because I watched this movie.
And I will say this, they're making Sharknado 2.
Yes.
You know, obviously with the successes. I am not looking forward to Sharknado 2 because I have a feeling
I have to call it Sharknado.
That Sharknado 2 is going to just be like full-blown comedy and very self-aware. Yeah. And that, I think, is...
That'll hurt it.
That is going to take away from this. Because this is almost like my fear of seeing, like, Birdemic 2.
Right, I was going to say, yeah.
Which you're going to be like, well, wait, once they're fully aware of what's going on,
they know that.
I don't know.
Then they're totally...
It loses its charm.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But they have said that Australian guy may be in Sharknado 2, because they're saying he was sucked into the tornado, but we didn't see him die.
It's true.
So he might be back.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Might be back for more Crocodile Dundee references. Mm-hmm. Could be back.
Great.
Well, I guess let's wrap this one up. I mean, I think we sort of all agreed. I thought this was so bad. It's,
this was one of our...
I saw it in the theater. The crowd was cheering. Yeah, it was a lively audience. The bad jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there great guy there.
I don't think you were in there yet. There was some guy before who came in, and he's like, hey, everyone, we worked on the movie. He had like a camera. Yeah. He's like, we did the effects for the movie, and now we're here watching the movie with you guys or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like,
I don't know. If...
Well, it only got released. I was looking online. It only got released in two.
Was everyone like,
two
okay?
Yeah, yeah, they were. I was like, yeah.
And Syracuse was one of those theaters.
Yeah. So he was like, hey, yeah, he said like, oh, we couldn't find out where we are, so we came up here to watch it or something like that. And I was like, I don't know if they're just...
Wow, I wonder if that's true.
If that was true. Yeah. I
did.
I'm gonna start doing that in theaters.
I did want to pay this movie one compliment, which is Ian Ziering was giving 100% in this, and I give him a lot of credit because obviously when he's doing this, he doesn't know this is gonna become a cult thing. Right. Like, and he could have gone like the Tara Reid like half checked out, sort of like standing there route. And Ian Ziering, he's all in. Like he's giving this his all, and I give him a lot of credit for that.
I do too.
You know, he did not just show up for a paycheck. He was like, I'm going to...
He freaking acted his ass off.
He did.
Well, they paid him for a job and he did it.
Yeah, yeah. It was
and he did
cool.
it well.
Yeah.
Well, I cannot imagine any actor who could play the Finn character in this situation that he's presented with better than Ian Ziering.
Really?
Yeah.
I did laugh, too, at the end. Instead of saying
instead
of saying the end, it said Finn.
Yes, I did get a chuckle.
Oh,
and
that's
funny. Actually,
because there was like a Sharknado song too.
Well, we didn't even talk about all the Jaws references in here.
Oh God, yeah, there
there's
was a
so
line.
Many
Jaws
references.
We're gonna need a bigger helicopter.
We need a bigger chopper, yeah. And like Nova gives like the Quint speech in Jaws.
Yes.
Like,
six
but her
people
own spin
went in,
on
one little
it.
Girl came out.
Yeah, there's so many. Like,
those made me groan.
Yeah, I thought they were.
Oh, I thought they were hilarious.
I thought the sequel should be called Sharknado 2 and take place in Mexico.
Ooh, that's actually good.
Sharknado 2, but 2.
I like that.
Sharknado 2, but it's also Sharknado.
That's actually good.
Yeah. I tweeted them after the movie. They said, tweet at Sharknado with your idea for a sequel title, and it may be considered. And I immediately, Sharknado 2, and I did tweet it to
them. Did they say anything?
Or at them. No response. I'm sure they got millions.
Did they say bueno?
I think it's going to take place in New York.
Boy,
so it
boy,
makes
boy
sense.
No.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I think they just announced like the title is just going to be Sharknado 2, the second one, which I'm like,
I think well, it was.
Okay. I like
which
Sharknado
is lending into your
better.
Theory that maybe they're going to make it more comedy.
Yeah, full blown comedy.
But it worked for Evil Dead though when they did that.
Yeah, that's Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell. And...
Good point.
Good point.
Good point. Asylum people.
Yeah,
good
point. I know.
The Asylum has made their share of movies that can't be.
Yeah.
So.
So to all wrap right. this one up, as always, be our friend on Facebook.
Be our friend.
Yeah,
be
our friend.
Friend.
Cody and Jack, especially Jack, holding our Facebook page together. Send us comments
God,
on
Jack.
Facebook. Stop the movie. I want to get out. And for previews of what's going to be upcoming, for hints and conversation about our movies on Twitter, you can at
Jack Estabrook. Yep.
At Cody A. Wolf.
Indeed.
And you can follow the show at WindUpFilms on Twitter. There have been some, some good conversations on Twitter recently for Stop the Movie related stuff. So
Twitter convos
to find us, yeah. I think that brings it to a close. Are we forgetting anything?
I don't think so.
Yeah. What? No.
No.
So yeah, that is it. Oh, and I want to make one quick last plug. If you're looking for older episodes of the show, which are not on iTunes, because we can only keep a limited supply on iTunes, you can get them at our website. StopTheMoviePodcast.podbean.com.
Wait, you have a website?
We're on the interwebs.
There's a link to that on the
Cody
Facebook
got it.
Page in the info section.
Yeah. Oh, wait, what's that from?
From this movie?
Oh,
wait, you have a dog.
Wait, you've done other shows?
Wait, you guys have Twitter?
Yeah. And I think that brings it, yeah. We'll be back soon with more bad movies, more so bad it's good, more fun. And yeah, I think that's it. Have a great week.
El fin.